Today's program was brought to you by Blueprint, the original juice cleanse program to offer different levels of intensity depending on your needs and current diet. For more information, visit blueprint.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the third episode of Petrician on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and I'm here with Amy Levinsky. We're going to talk about raw food diets for pets. Amy's been involved with animals her whole life. As a kid, she grew up riding horses and competing on the Southeast Circuit. She was in advertising until she realized that it wasn't for her, and then switched to the dog and cat world through adopting pets, working retail at pet food shops, and working in veterinary clinics. Today, Amy is now the manager at Blue Pearl Veterinary Partners in Brooklyn, New York, a 24-hour emergency animal hospital. Amy has extensive knowledge about raw food diets for cats and dogs, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Welcome, Amy, and thanks for coming to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to have you here. There's a lot of talk about raw food diets, and now that they've been on the market for a couple years, they've gotten definitely easier for people. However, I want to talk about the real raw food diets and the stuff that you were doing a long time ago. So let's start talking about that. How did you get interested in feeding raw?
I first was living with a roommate of mine in Texas, and her dachshund got really sick. And she started to investigate the raw diet just online when it wasn't commercially available and not very many people were doing it, at least not openly. Mm-hmm. It was kind of considered a weird hippie thing to do.
Totally.
And so her dog was very sick and in the hospital. I think she ended up finding out that he had leptospirosis. Mm. And he eventually ended up getting over it and being well. But, you know, his compromised system, she really wanted to kind of boost up as much as she could. Mm-hmm. So she started doing her own research, and just by sharing a house with her and, you know, owning pets together, and
yeah,
we did rescue together. That's when I first heard of it. I had never heard of raw feeding before, but that was my first exposure to it, and kind of drifted away from it for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But came back to it when I started really, you know, having my own dogs and cats, and, you know, really looking into it for them, for mm-hmm. their specific problems.
Now, I know that you had a Great Dane named Dallas, who I was a big fan of. I love that dog. And I know you had her on a raw diet, but I want you to talk about, or to our listeners, about why you did put her on a raw diet and what that was all about.
I put her on a raw diet because when I initially adopted her, she was very thin, kind of a scaredy cat, mm-hmm. and just was generally kind of not in great health, so I wanted to do the best that I could for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really started getting into it with her as far as raw feeding, really doing my own research. She ended up putting on probably 20 pounds.
Wow.
With the raw diet, you know, good pounds,
yeah,
not junk fat pounds.
Yeah, like muscle.
Muscle, yeah, yeah. And, you know, her coat looked great. Her spirits seemed to be better.
That's awesome.
Although I can't quantify that, but it just seemed like she was more peaceful, mm-hmm. less nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was raw fed her whole life, and it really made a difference for her, and I think it really carried throughout her life and through the end of her life, because she ended up being diagnosed with dilated cardiomyopathy, which mm-hmm. is basically congestive heart failure.
Okay.
And a lot of the medications that they're put on for congestive heart failure make them not so interested in food.
Mm-hmm.
And there are heart diets out there that are made by, you know, Science Diet, Hills, whatever.
Yeah.
But they're still full of junk, and mm-hmm. they're not that tasty. So I started, you know, mixing up her diet. Whatever she wanted to eat that day
mm-hmm.
was what she ate. So I did a lot of home-cooked diets for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the raw diet really helped her. I think, you know, she made it about a year past her diagnosis. And for the average, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's
and
a
I think
lot.
The diet had a lot to do with that, because she was eating up until the very end, and that helped her I think, just kind of deal with her disease the best that she could.
Now, because she had a heart issue, did you ever feed her heart in terms of like a glandular therapy kind of thing?
I did. She liked it, and that helped. So I would buy these big, giant, scary beef hearts.
Oof.
Which people look at you funny when you buy those and it's not Halloween. But, you know, you get them home and it's also gross because when you cut them up, they bleed.
Yeah,
so.
You're a brave lady. I couldn't handle that.
It was a little bit of a strong stomach to do it, but she loved it. I would, you know, it's considered a muscle meat because the heart is muscle, even though, you know, sometimes it's considered an organ, but but really it's muscles, so it's it could be fed as, you know, a major part of a raw diet if you wanted to.
Okay.
And I think there's something to be said for kind of feeding the part of the body that is lacking.
Yeah.
So I think it did help her, and she liked it, so
yeah, I mean,
she didn't know any different.
On a completely unrelated note, I'd blown out my thyroid and my adrenal glands, and I was taking glandular therapy, and it was bovine thyroid and adrenal glands, and fortunately, it was freeze-dried in a capsule, or it would have been completely disgusting, but it actually healed me. And so I think there's a lot to be said about that, but that's a whole other show. Mm-hmm. So I definitely want to stick on to this one. But like for people that know nothing about raw meat feeding, are you basically just throwing a chunk of meat into a dog bowl and going, go to town? Or,
I mean, in not so many words, yes.
Okay.
But you have to do a little bit of research.
Mm-hmm.
And this is speaking to somebody with a completely healthy pet with no, you know, really outstanding health issues.
Right.
You really are kind of, like you said, throwing a chunk of meat in the bowl.
Okay.
Sometimes they won't keep it in the bowl, but they'll drag it around your house. But basically, you kind of start off with your dog's personality. If your dog is a 60-pound pit bull that likes to gulp his food, you may want to start out with quite literally an entire turkey and let him gnaw on it for a bit, because if you throw him a chicken leg, he's going to gulp it down, and you may end up at, you know, the emergency vet seeing me later on.
Exactly.
So you kind of have to judge how your pet eats and what his quote-unquote style of eating is.
Makes sense.
If he's not a gulper, you've got a few more options. You can feed a little bit smaller. But a lot of dogs that do gulp their food will eventually slow down when they're fed raw, because they learn that everything is not kibble-sized and they can't inhale it. And, you know, I think they kind of enjoy eating their food more.
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, crackers every day, blah.
Yeah.
You know, at least it's something that's like, oh my God, look, it's for me.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. You know? So, you know, you don't have to do this, but I invested in a chest freezer because I had a big dog and I was feeding her quite a bit.
Yeah.
And that helps too, because then you have your food on hand. You don't have to make as many trips to the grocery store. You can buy in bulk. There's lots of groups out there, depending on where you live, that will kind of go in together to buy like an entire cow and then divide it up. I mean, it's that intense sometimes, but you don't have to be that way. You can just go and, you know, buy bulk chicken quarters from the store if you want to start out that way. And the nice thing about kind of getting into raw feeding now as opposed to 10 years ago is that a lot of commercial companies are getting into the raw food game as well.
Cool.
They realize that that's what people want. They're more educated about it, and they're making it easier for people to do it.
Nice.
Nature's Variety is kind of the brand that I've always gone to. They don't really have any recalls that I can recall.
Yeah.
They're pretty forthcoming about what they do, what they put into their food, and they've got organic options if you want to go that way.
Yep.
But they have patties, they've got little medallions that are just in frozen bags, and now they actually have little, like, kibble-sized raw.
Oh, funny.
So if you're really opposed to feeding raw and you're just like, I don't want to deal with that, but you'd also like the health benefits
of it. Right, right.
but you just want to kind of like scoop it out of a bag like you would dry food,
right?
You can do that now, which is pretty cool.
That is really cool, and that makes it a lot easier. I mean, there were a lot of people that come to me when they first start thinking about raw food, or if I mention it, it's like, ew, it's going to be gross. And I mean, in all fairness, if I was a vegetarian or a vegan, I don't think I could handle it either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, I get it.
Yeah.
And it's really, really nice to be able to go and buy, you know, product that's already made if you so need it.
Yeah,
you know?
And I mean, being in retail and kind of guiding people through this process, mm-hmm. of either switching over to raw, or they just don't know where to start, or they're kind of looking for a new food, and I kind of steer them in the direction of the freezers.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a cat or like a small dog or even a medium dog, like, it's super easy.
Yeah.
When you start getting into multiple large dogs and like feeding St. Bernards and Great Danes,
yeah.
it can be a little bit pricier and a little bit more time consuming,
mm-hmm.
and take up more of your living space.
Yeah.
But, and I think those people that have like multiple large dogs or, you know, giant breeds, I think buying in bulk from the groups, as opposed to doing commercial diets, mm-hmm. is better. It's going to be kinder to your wallet in the long run.
Well, like when you were feeding Dallas, I mean, she's a Great Dane. So yeah. What approximately, how much do you think her meals were?
I figured it out once. I think it ended up being about a couple dollars a day.
Okay.
So it wasn't terrible.
Okay.
And she wasn't massive, but
yeah.
she was about 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, typically you feed 2-3% of their body weight per day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're going to make me do math on air. Whatever.
Sorry.
That is. 2-3 pounds.
Ballpark. Perfect.
For her, for a 100-pound dog.
Right.
So, you know, poundage-wise, it can add up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing deliveries about 1-2 times a month for
That's
her.
That's good.
So it wasn't terrible.
Okay.
And not having a car and living in New York, I think that's doable for
yeah.
most people.
And what kind of proteins, I mean, everyone always thinks beef, you know, beef or chicken, but like what other proteins can you use when you're feeding a dog or a cat?
You can use anything, really, especially if you're kind of trying to switch to raw to address allergy issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're seeing a dermatologist for your dog or cat, I would advise kind of partnering with them
mm-hmm.
in order to address those issues and being upfront that you're feeding raw or that you'd like to. But you can use anything from chicken, and I've seen anything as weird as beaver or
okay, yeah.
elk or ostrich.
Yep.
Ostrich is kind of prohibitively expensive.
I'll bet.
But, you know, so are medications. So
yeah.
if it works for you.
Yeah.
It may balance out.
I agree with you completely. I mean, one of the theories that I always go by is if the animal could have killed it in the wild, then it was an appropriate protein.
Mm-hmm.
However, nowadays, I mean, there's no way a cat's taking down a buffalo. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So
yeah.
it's like now that the availability of better meats are showing up and these more exclusive proteins, for lack of a better word, you know, these really specific proteins that you couldn't get before.
Yeah, they're the novel proteins. They're ones that, you know, typical dog and cat eating dry food hasn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So those are good to have on your back burner. I would not start off feeding your dog or cat ostrich just because
yeah.
you feel like it's cool. I save that until, you know, you may run into an issue where you have to try and find a protein that they haven't eaten before.
Mm-hmm.
So don't go to kangaroo off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you completely there.
Yeah. Most people feel comfortable with chicken or beef because it's something that they're used to eating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people do kind of look at their dogs and cats as their children. So
this is true.
Okay, well, you know, I like beef, you like beef, let's buy beef.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And what do you think about fish?
Fish is fine. With raw feeding, you can run into some issues with
okay.
fish. Let's see if I have my facts straight, but I believe it is Pacific salmon
okay.
that can carry a fluke or
okay.
a worm, which typically is not an issue when it's cooked, but
yeah.
if you're feeding raw, then you want to make sure that that wherever your salmon comes from is not experiencing that problem.
Okay. Okay, well, this sounds great. We're going to take a little break at the moment and have a little bit of station identification, but we'll be back shortly. I'm the food healer, this with Amy Levinsky, and we're going to keep talking about raw food.
You're listening to Snickers by Obesity on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Stay tuned for more from Celia Kutcher and Petrician.
The original juice cleanse program to offer different levels of intensity depending on your needs and current diet. Designed to purify and detoxify, Blueprint Cleanse is made from the freshest 100% raw and USDA certified organic ingredients, cold pressed to retain nutrients and flavor. Blueprint also offers a line of organic juices, cold pressed and raw, in a variety of fruit and vegetable combinations and available in individual bottles. Blueprint Cleanse is available at Whole Foods Market and many other retailers across the U.S. To learn more about their line of organic cleanses, juices, and other products, visit them today at blueprint.com or call them at 866-774-6831. That's 866-774-6831. Work hard, play hard. Cleanse, repeat.
Hey, and we're back. I'm here with Amy Levinsky, and we're talking about feeding raw food to cats and dogs. And so we've been talking a little bit about proteins and stuff like that. My next question for you, Amy, is if you're feeding a really good raw meal or raw diet, do you have to add supplementation?
It really would be dependent on the dog or the cat. I think especially for cats, you have to make sure that there's enough taurine in their diet for their health, and it, you know, can affect their eyesight in the long term. So I think if you're feeding a commercial raw diet, then and it's one that's, you know, been out there for a while and not some coming out of someone's garage.
Right.
Not that they can't make good food, but it's not been, you know, really tested.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you're feeding a commercial diet, then you're okay. You don't really need to add supplements unless maybe your dog or cat has a joint issue and you feel like they need extra supplementation. But the raw diet is pretty complete when you do it correctly.
Okay.
That said, if you're feeding a homemade diet or you're doing raw on your own, you want to make sure that it's balanced. So it's good to find a vet that is also on board with raw feeding and kind of run that by them, run it by what you're feeding, and make sure that they feel that it's balanced. And there's resources that they have access to that maybe the average person does not, as far as, you know, certain colleges that have programs that basically study raw diets.
Right.
And they and study diets as a whole, not just raw diets, and they will do kind of consults with people to make sure that the diets are balanced. What you don't want is having someone come in and say, "I've been feeding chicken breasts for the last 4 years," and the animal doesn't look good, and rightly so, because that's just not balanced.
Yeah.
So whatever you feed, it needs to be balanced over time. So whether that means adding supplements in to kind of boost up what your diet might be lacking, then that's what it means.
Okay. And what about people that might want to start be doing a raw diet, but they are, the cost is prohibitive, and they want to mix cooked and raw at the same time? What do you tell them?
You mean if they're doing like...
I'll do kibble and hamburger.
Yeah. I would say hamburger probably wouldn't be worth doing.
Right.
But I would say if you want to do breakfast of kibble and dinner of raw, mm-hmm. so that you're doing raw 50% of the time, then that's certainly better than nothing.
Right.
A lot of people, I've heard this in veterinary medicine for some reason, is that a lot of people feed wet food as a treat.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, if you're feeding dry food all the time, I would get them to switch to all wet first.
Yeah.
And then to raw.
Okay.
It's kind of a gradual education
mm-hmm.
for people.
Mm-hmm. And I think people need to realize, too, that if they're feeding raw, if you're going to do, like, raw and cooked part-time, or raw and kibble part-time, mm-hmm. they need to be fed at separate times because they digest at different speeds, too. You know, because I have heard a couple people, you know, start off with, you know, when you're doing the transition over, oh, take your dry food and take a couple scoops out and put a little bit of raw meat in mm-hmm. and mix that up and go ahead. And it's like, if it's canned food, yeah, absolutely. But the raw meat, I think, it's just too extreme. They're such extremes.
Yeah, I don't really find people that kind of go halfway with raw.
Yeah.
I think if they're going to do it, they usually want to do it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of the rare person that does the half and half.
Right. Right. And what about, this is a question I get all the time. My dog's going to get food poisoning. You can't eat raw meat. Kitty's going to die because she's going to get food poisoning. What do you tell them?
If you go out to eat in a restaurant, there's a chance that you are putting yourself at risk
True.
For food poisoning. So I don't think in the whole grand scheme of the universe that it's any more dangerous than doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The uncooked portion of the diet, I think, is what gets people.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like if you were handling raw chicken and, you know, sticking it in the oven for your meal, you're going to wash off that cutting board and you're going to spray down your counter surfaces.
Yeah.
The fact that your dog and cat is eating it, I've heard that they can shed more salmonella, you know, from their feces, from their poop.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think if you're a healthy, non-immunosuppressed person, you're not living with somebody with an immune compromising disease
mm-hmm.
or small children that are crawling around on the floor and licking the pet's food bowls, I think you'll probably be okay.
Cool.
You know, you just kind of have to assess your own situation, who you're living with, what your household situation is, and you may have to make a few adjustments. If your toddler is crawling around on the floor, then you may have to, you know, close Fluffy off while she eats her dinner, so no one gets food poisoning. But again, if you're taking precautions mm-hmm. and you're, you know, handling your food like you would for yourself, spraying down surfaces, washing food bowls, then should be fine.
And that's a big one, too, is, you know, wash out your food bowls after every meal. Wash out the water bowl daily. You mm-hmm. don't want it to be slippery and slimy and blah, and it's mean.
And, you know, with raw food as well as any other food, you should be using stainless steel or ceramic, something mm-hmm. that's non-porous.
Okay.
Something that you can clean.
So throw out the plastic and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plastic's yucky anyways.
You never get it clean.
No.
It's true. So what do you think... Here, we're going to make you do kind of more math.
Oh, great.
three pros of feeding raw. Your top three pros of feeding raw food.
Top three, I think, health-wise, to break it down, I could do health overall, but I see an improvement in skin mm-hmm. and coat, in especially dogs and cats, because I kind of tend to see this kind of greasy, like, dandruffy coat in cats a lot.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a lot to do with them not getting a lot of moisture in their diet,
mm-hmm.
which the raw diet takes care of. I hardly ever see my cats drink.
Yeah.
I know that they do, but not very much.
Good.
Because they're getting a lot of moisture from their diet.
Yeah.
So skin and coat, I guess allergies could go along with that.
Yeah.
I think some behavior issues can kind of be helped
okay.
with the raw diet. I'm thinking of a pit bull that I knew that I helped with in puppy class for my friend Denise with Empire the Dog here in Brooklyn. And that dog was just like out of its mind, crazy, insane. And they were feeding it kibble, and it would just come to class and just be like, you know, bouncing off the walls, like literally bouncing off the walls. It was a miracle if we could keep it focused for like 3 seconds. And it was, I think, like a 4 or 6 week class, and I encouraged them to change its diet. And by the end of the class, that dog was not perfect, but a lot better and a lot more focused and just like not seeming like it was on crack every second of the day.
Yeah, it's like
it's a lot more level.
It's amazing. I mean, I had a cat that I rescued that was a kibble cat. And when I first got Moo Kitty, she spent 3 weeks underneath my bed attacking me. And it was really bad. And I got, you know, the bloody ankles and the whole thing. And I went to Whiskers and I went to Phil and I was like, what am I doing? And he said, she's on dry food, isn't she? And I went, my God, you're a genius. You know, and he said, get her on raw or wet immediately.
Yeah.
Within a month, it was a completely different cat.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, well, you're a miracle man. How did you know this? And he said, it's all the carbs. It's like, it's too much energy for him.
It's like feeding kids sugary cereal like 24 hours a day.
Go to bed. Concentrate. Concentrate. There's a lot of ADD in this country. I don't understand.
So I think that was two. I still owe you one more reason.
Give me one more.
I think the last reason is kind of a little bit selfish as humans. You know, we want to do the best for our pets.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like with feeding raw, I feel like I am doing the best for my pets, you know, really giving them what their bodies are made to eat and what they're designed to process. So I'm not kind of loading their bodies down with a bunch of other crap that they have to, quote unquote, deal with. Along with the regular pitfalls of being a dog or a cat and, you know, the diseases that they get. So, you know, it makes me feel good as an owner.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be my little selfish owner reason.
It's funny. I thought your selfish owner reason was going to be like, because there's no feces.
That is a good other reason.
It makes it really easy to walk, and I love it.
Cleaning out the litter box is easier, that's for sure.
So I know that there are going to be some people that are going to be listening that are going to be interested to find out more information. Do you have any recommendations for resources or websites that can just lead some people on the beginning of their path here?
Sure. There's a lot of information out there online, as there is with any topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I would take everything with a grain of salt and really do your research and do your reading. And, you know, you'll start to see good information pop up more often than the strange random information that you might read out there. I think if the website is still around, there is rawfeddogs.com.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not that exactly, it's something very close.
Okay.
And I think there's also rawfedcats.com, and that's a good kind of overall place to start.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you kind of the view from 1,000 feet about raw feeding.
Nice.
But then if you want to get real into it, there's message boards, which can go way off topic real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Those are good to look through the archives, because those have been kind of edited. Things have, you know, threads have been closed.
That's really smart.
You know, things have been taken out that aren't great information.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot of information out there. If you have someone that you can maybe email correspond with, or you know someone that's feeding raw, or you have a good pet store that you really like and that you trust, that's a good place to start too.
Cool. I love it. It's the things that I've seen with raw food have been really major changes for animals. And like you said, there's tons of misinformation out there. So I'm really thrilled to have been able to have brought you in to talk about all this and kind of clarify a little bit, you know, and just kind of get more information out there regarding it. Because it is, it's really important. And, you know, more better food, less vet bills.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my favorite thing about it. So.
Yeah, and, you know, we're just scratched the surface, so there's tons more to talk about.
I'd love to have you come back another time, and we can continue this conversation and get a little bit more specific and, you know, talk about the addition of some grains or if people use vegetables or fruit or something like that. Because it's a huge, huge topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate you coming in and helping me out with this and giving a really, really nice general outline of what raw feeding is. So I wanted to thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I wanted to thank the Heritage Radio Network for believing in me and letting me do this show. And I want to thank Blue Pearl Veterinary Partners for letting Amy come out early so that she could talk to us today. So that's really awesome. If you'd like to find out more information about me, you can go to www.foodhealer.com. That's my site and my blog. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. You can find me there. I hope you all have a wonderful evening, and take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.